from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three now. It's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Kind of breezy this morning, northeast. We're going to run down the coast to Corpus Christi. We're going to check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. Good morning, Cliff. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Man, I was thinking about, I guess it was last week when you had Bing Grimes on talking about when the hummingbird showed up, the teal showed up. Well, right. The hummingbird showed up yesterday, so they yeah. already have some teal. Man, it's crazy. My whole backyard loaded with hummingbirds in one day. You know, it's just nuts how they show up. Crazy.
It is. That's they always show up just ahead of fall, and they'll stage up and down the coast and ride these north winds across the Gulf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nuts.
I don't think they want to cross right now with what more coming. So, mm-hmm. you know, to head towards the Yucatan. No. So we'll see. We'll see.
Wow. I was bird hunting on Saturday, white wing hunting, and seeing them buzz by, you know, and then I'm talking to one of my buddies I'm hunting with, and he was talking about that deal when the hummingbirds, the teal show up, and we saw a flock of teal way up high, you know, coming. Mm-hmm. And so it's just funny how that works. But, man, I had a good bird hunt this weekend. You know, I'm up in Alice, and we demount a white wing is stupid. You know, last year was just millions and millions of them. This year was down a little bit simply because they don't plant a lot of grain around us. They swap from cotton to grain, so you never know how much grain you're going to have in the area. And we still had enough to have an incredible shoot. You know, I shot my limit pretty quick. with a little over and under 20, but we just smoked them. And there was two, I'm hunting by these two big ponds, and this one pond's real deep, so it had about maybe 2 foot of water in the bottom of it. And we go back Saturday night, and it rained probably 4 or 5 inches that night. And we come back, and those ponds are full, and those birds are not coming to water. They're just got everything. They got puddles to drink out of and everything else, you know. So our Sunday hunt was like a bummer compared to the Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
We got them, but we didn't get them like we got them Saturday, you know. So, and so I don't know. The main in the north wind blew them all out.
Sure changes things in the dove hunting scene, you know.
Yeah.
It just pushes them around, moves them around.
Yeah, it's dove hunting in South Texas. We clean those birds, and their craws are just full of sunflowers. So somebody's got commercial sunflowers around us this year. You know, it's funny, when they get those sunflowers, they just, that's all they want. And almost all of our birds are full of wild sunflowers, and they plant these big crops up for these big commercial sunflowers down here. And man, it just really draws the birds in. But it was a good hunt, and I love the white wing time.
To grow them sunflowers, get them seeds, keep these baseball players happy.
No kidding.
Why are there so many pigeons living around the baseball stadiums?
Oh man, you know, that was, it's funny because you had those sunflower eaters in your boat, you know, and those little hulls stick to the bottom of the boat.
I always tell people, spit those things
overside. They're like,
and hey man,
cups,
dip
man.
Some skull or something, spit it over the side. I'm sick of pressure washing sunflower hulls out of my boat,
that's,
man.
Good stuff, yeah. Well, you know, it's the amount of rain we've had here, Mickey's crazy. So I've got a rain gauge I've dumped twice. So we're up to close to 11 inches this week since I've talked to you here on the
Isn't
island.
Isn't that crazy? For down there, that's nuts.
That's nuts. And it's done some crazy stuff. It's so much fresh water in the upper lagoon. It's even got a brown tint to it in some areas. But
really?
And it's just mainly the upper lagoon. You know, you take down south where it's so salty, it's like a margarita. It's going to be fine.
It's going to take a lot to freshen that up.
It's not going to hurt nothing there, Bubba. But it's going to make our fishing good. And what's so different this year is, you know, I keep record of weather stuff. You know, last year we had a lot of days over 100. And we had only one stretch of 2 or 3 days it broke that 100. And now it's cooled back down, and what it's done is dropped that water temperature back down in our bay systems, so a lot of our fish didn't go south. Last year at this time, we were smoking hot, and it just pushed a lot of fish down to Mansfield. So this time, a lot of them kind of stayed in our bay system, which in the long run, that's going to make us a much better fall here. We're going to have a much better fall than last year. So unless we get a hurricane in here, we don't want to talk about that.
Oh, man. The H word, the forbidden H word.
Yeah, I know. We're almost over. You know, if we can get a couple more fronts in here.
Oh,
I
know it. Keep them coming. Good. Bring them. Let's roll.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming, man. But,
we're not out of the woods yet, but they pretty much missed it. It was doom and gloom, you know, for hurricane forecast. Going to be the busiest year we've seen in years and all this. And it just goes to show you that you can't predict Mother Nature. You can't.
Yeah.
You think you can, but you can't.
Oh, I know it. And
the Saharan dust saved us, you know, coming off the African coast.
Yeah.
That helped for a while.
Yeah. And we used to not have that, Mickey. And what's up with that?
I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't tell us. Maybe we've always had it and they didn't tell us. I don't know, but I don't remember Saharan dust. Yeah, whatever.
Well, we had all that smoke earlier in the year, you know, coming from wildfires in Mexico. Remember all that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I get lots of that. God, oh, buddy. It affects your breathing down here. It gets so bad sometimes. You just, you know, early in the morning, you're trying to run down south. You're just breathing that stuff in. Your throat gets sore. But
you know, I think that's why flies were so bad for most of the summer around my. Now there's none, but for a while there, man, about every week, you just like a new crop of flies coming, and I guess they were getting burnt out of Mexico, all the smoke. I don't know.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's a theory.
But, you know, I was supposed to take Mike Herring was supposed to come down this weekend and fish the beach with me. He calls us, hey, man, I'm coming to Corpus with my wife and I, and let's have dinner and fish the beach. And I sent him the forecast for today. Seas are 7 foot. And he said, well, I think I'll go somewhere else. I said, I don't blame you, Bubba.
Duh.
You know, it's not too good down here. But, man, I'm catching them in the surf when it's down. Mickey, we got tons of fish in the surf. The deal is we got tons of everything else in the surf, ladyfish and just, man, skipjack and bluefish. But it's still, you know, if you can, find your little pot of trout, it's still good. It's just the conditions are changing. I mean, every 24 hours, the conditions are just bouncing back and forth, man. And I got that new Bates reel. I'm just dying to get some good
fish. I know.
Fish
I talked to Mike, it was day before yesterday, or maybe it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
I talked to him, and he said they're so hard to get. He said, I hadn't forgot about you. I'm going to send you a couple, so hang in there. I said, I'm good, man. That's, you know.
They're selling like crazy. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people.
They can't make enough of them right now.
Yeah. Oh, Chris Coulter's having that Haney Owners Tournament in Aransas Pass. I went over there last night. There's hundreds of people in that tournament.
Oh, that
I
is crazy
believe,
how huge that
yes,
is. That just tells you how many Haney boat owners there are. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's probably 400 or 500 of them that entered that night. But they give away. So every entry, even if you don't fish the tournament, you're in the drawing for the boat. So you want to, you know, pitch in $100. They throw your ticket, whether you fish or not, into a big pot, and you get $100-something thousand boat, Haney boat. You know?
Exactly.
So a lot of people, you know, they go, they don't actually fish the tournament, but they'll sign up for that that drawing, and I don't blame them. I went down there and saw Chris and hung out a little bit, and the food was fantastic, you know, and all the live bands and stuff. So
awesome.
It was going on, man.
Well, I tell you, I love my old Big Kenner. I've had it so long, but if I ever replaced it, that's what I'd replace it with, is a boat like yours. I love your boat, man. I love fishing
out
of that
man.
Boat. That's a good
I'm putting a new motor
boat.
On it. Yeah, I'll put
that's
a new motor on
me.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Awesome.
See how that works out. You know.
Well, I'm going to have to come down there and do a little test ride with you.
Yeah, it's going to change a lot of things, buddy. It's, you know, my mid-range with that new 10-cylinder is going to be totally different. I can run around 3,500 RPMs and doing 4,550, and just I'm getting almost 4.5 miles a gallon. Now I'm getting, at the best, I'll get maybe 2.5 to 3.
Yeah.
So it's going to change things. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we can get the land cut 20 minutes earlier now.
I know it, right? That's so true.
I love making that long run down there. I just love it. I always have.
It's funny because I love strolling through. I keep calendars and books, and, you know, every year I fish and I write down little comments, you know. And that was a year that I was running that little 21 redfish line Mayak with a TRP on it. And it's like a pancake, man. You feel every bump in it. And I ran
how
many
bleed.
Days. Dude, I was young, but I think about that now. I go, how many days did I run straight 100 and something miles? I'm going, it's a little different than a pancake than it is in that big old V I got. That 25 is stupid how nice it is.
Yeah, that boat's that's a good ride there, buddy. I like
it. Goes.
Yeah, if I ever replace mine, that's what I'd go with.
Mm-hmm. And you're still running your Hondas, right?
Oh, I love them Hondas, man. If they could cook, I'd marry them. They're sweet.
You know, it's funny. We're seeing more and more Hondas down here than I've ever seen. So, you know, the Mercury.
We got a lot of them up here now. Yeah. Fernando just keeps turning them out, man. And they their service and everything is so excellent. And people just, man, that guy just, he does an incredible job. Really takes care of a lot of people.
You got to have somebody like that behind you. Like I got Chris behind us. You know, I pull in, Chris fixes my boat that day, you know, and it's really nice to have that.
Yeah, you're
and
only as good as the dealer is taking care of you, you know.
That's it, you know. When I went to buy a new truck last year, I was asking guys, hey, man, what should I get, Dodge, Ford? You know, what should I get? He said, get the one you can get worked on.
Yeah.
That you have a good mechanic around you. So I kind of took that to heart, you know, because there's some places here – you know, Corpus Christi is different. It's not like Houston where you have a lot of competition. Here, somebody can, you know, not do a great job. It's okay. There's no one else to, you know, to get it done. So
right.
It's a little different here.
Well, okay. Let me do this break. I'll be right back at you, man. Hang on,
all right,
bro.
All right, Mickey.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And go by Boyd's, pull in, and if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, you can look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They have them on display right there at the store. You can check out all their different size bottles and how you want to rig your boat out with their diffusers. And they do a great job. and they refill your bottles right there at the store if you need them refilled. And if you're looking for more info on it, just call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf shrimp. Whether you're looking for the big 9, 12s, 15, 18s, whatever count you like, they always have good specials and great availability. And check out their Cajun Grill next door. They turn out some really good food there at great prices. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy. Did you guys get as much rain as we? Or I guess you guys got
Right along the coast, there was a lot. And, you know, up my way, I had one event. Let's see, it was last Sunday morning. I think in about 4 hours, we got 5 inches. But the rest of the time, it's just been spotty, you know, a quarter inch here, that kind of stuff. No. But Galveston and down on the coast, they've been getting a lot. Freeport, and it's you know, a strange way. It's just those bands, you know, the way they were circling through. And even above me, some of the bands were going up by Rayburn and some of the lakes and dumping some rain. And but
did Blaine get rain on his ranch?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he kept getting showers coming through there, and they've been down there mowing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's why I heard you saying that, man. I wonder how their birds were. Do they have lots of birds?
He's loaded up. Yeah, he sent me a picture yesterday, somebody with limits of white wings. And
I was talking to Mike. You know, Mike was going to come down, and you know, he's a big shooter. And so I'm at the point now where I don't think I'll ever get any better than I am on shotgun. And I've come to a point where I'm not getting any better, and it concerns me. And I figured out that I shoot right-handed, but I'm left eye dominant.
Yeah, see, that's a problem. That is a real problem.
So I switched over to my left. So now I'm shooting off my left shoulder. And what I did, Mike says, you take a Daisy BB gun or a BB gun, and 10 minutes a day, you put it on your left shoulder and shoot it 10 minutes a day. And that's what I'm doing. And, man, because, you know, Mickey, I'm shooting these. I can't believe sometimes I miss. I mean, I shoot thousands of birds. I normally don't miss. All of a sudden, I'll get into a rut, and I'm missing. I'm like, what is going on? And it's all of a sudden, I close one eye. And it ruins your peripheral vision. So that's what Mike says. All of a sudden, I catch myself closing that left eye. Can't do it if your left eye dominant. You know,
not your good eye. That's your good eye. That's your dominant eye.
You know, so I'm shooting across the barrels. What's happening? You know, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I never look at my...
Most times like that, you're ahead of them, you know.
That's it. I'm ahead of them.
I mean, just take your hand and just make a circle with your thumb and index finger and focus on one thing and then close your eyes, and you'll see how much that circle moves. If it moves to the left, your left eye, or to the right, your left eye dominant. And if it doesn't move when you close your left eye, your right eye dominant. It's real simple.
Yeah, and he told me that. He told me how to test it. He said, look at something on the wall, look at your fish mount there, and make a make a little circle with your fingers, you know, like an okay sign, and look through it with both eyes, then close one eye and see where it moves. It moved to the left. So I was definitely, you know, left eye dominant. And so all these years I've been shooting off the wrong shoulder, you know, and can I change now? We're going to find out.
Well, it's really hard. You know, I mean, you're used to it, muscle memory and throwing a gun up and everything, and used to doing it right hand. And then when you go left, it's just going to take a lot of shooting and time. But hey, a little old Red Ryder Daisy BB gun's all you need. And just shoot where you look.
And see, that's how I learned to shoot dove was with a Red Ryder. I put a bunch of cans out different.
That's it.
Yeah, and I'd shoot at them all the time with it, and I'd never look at my sight, and I got really good. But what's happened now, I can't get – on a good day, I shoot a 20-gauge over and under. I'm a box of shells for a limit. I want to get down like Mike is, 15, 17 for a limit. You know, Mike don't miss. He shoots a 410. You know, he's the only guy I know that shot when he was at his best. He was an instructor, shot. His parents was an instructor. They owned skeet ranges, so he's an incredible shot. He shot 24 skeet from the hip out of 25 from the hip.
I believe it.
Dude, that's insane. Well, I mean, just shoot
where you look. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, a lot of people, you don't close your eye. Well, no, you leave your eyes open.
No. And same with the rifle. He shoots, you know, and I don't close an eye when
I shoot a rifle. I keep my off eye open.
And that got me going because when I worked for the Kennedy and King Ranch, we shot a lot of predators, a lot of coyotes. They give us a 22-50. They said, shoot every coyote you see. There's millions of them. And it was mostly running. They got kind of spooky. So it was always running with both eyes open shooting a rifle. So you kind of get used to that, you know. But that deal with the eyes, I wish I'd have done that. And Mike said that they caught him doing that. He was shooting right shoulder. And I think his dad or somebody gave him a BB gun or a pellet gun and says, if I ever see it on your right shoulder, I'll take it away. He said, so he shot that pellet gun on his left shoulder since he was 8 years old. And that's what got it, you know, got him the right eye. But he's right-handed, but he's left eye dominant, you know, and he shoots left-handed. And so that's what I got to do. And it's so important to find out which eye is dominant on your shooting. I didn't realize that until I can't figure out why I'm missing bird. I shouldn't have missed that bird. You know, I'm just like, what? <You know? laughs> And then I make a great shot, you know, the next time, you know, so it's just, it all is what it is. But, you know, I'd like to get, I like to switch over the left. I'm going to see what happens. My right shoulder's wore out anyway. There's not much left on it. Yeah. But anyway, it'd be great to be able to shoot and cast with either hand, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. I'll have to try it. I don't know whether I can shoot left-handed or not.
I'm going to. I got to. You know, I can't stand this stuff. You know, I just keep thinking every year I'm going to get to that spot. And I'm just exactly the same the last 10 years. You know, I'm shooting birds, but, you know, I limit out quick and all that, but still, I'm still missing birds. I'm going, what is up with that? And the birds is in range, you know, and it was an easy shot. And I go, how did I shoot in front of me? Now, that's what it is. So we'll see what happens. But
we had a buddy years ago that duck hunted with us, and man, I'd call him in, get him right over the decoys, and he'd never cut a feather. And we figured it out. He was left eye dominant. I mean, seriously, big old duck just sitting there over the decoys and whiff on it. And that's what it was.
Yeah. So I guess I'm lucky to
shoot
like
from
I am
the wrong side.
Yeah. Shoot from the wrong side, man. That's just, you don't realize that. And I don't know who figured all that stuff out, but I'm so glad they did. God almighty. You know, but, we'll see. I was going to go bird hunting again today. I didn't go yesterday. I went to that tournament down there in Aransas Pass. That's just a neat. They got the live band. That is a neat place. So I'm going to go back. And I got one buddy that went to our place and bird hunted today to see if there's any birds. If they're not really thick, I'm just going to go back down to the Haney place and hang out. That's just, man, the drawings they got and stuff. Man, it's unbelievable.
Man.
That's a big tournament right there, guys. God,
yeah, it is. That isn't big. That's huge.
Yeah, you know, they got another tournament. I was talking to the police officer there, and they got a tournament for the police officers. It's called Hook 'em and Book 'em.
Hook 'em up.
Hook 'em and Book 'em. And it's a bunch of police officers doing a bunch of stuff for charity. So when that comes around, I'll let you know. I want to get in on that. But it's pretty funny, you know.
That's a great name.
Yeah,
Hook 'em and Book 'em. Especially for the cops to do that. Hook 'em and Book 'em.
Yeah. Book 'em, I can't believe how many of these police officers love to fish here. Oh, my God. You'll be talking to them on the beach. They get talking about fishing. They forget about everything else, you know.
Yeah, out of all the professions, man, I think probably cops and golfers, other than, you know, fishing guides. They do the most fishing. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
And firemen. Oh, there's a lot of firemen that fish, too.
Yeah, my next-door neighbor's a fireman, Steve, and friends forever travel with him. And now that he retired from the fire department, he got his guide license, started guiding. He lasted about 2 years. He said, I'm through with that. He said, that's too much like work.
It took the fun out of it, man.
It took the fun out of it, dude. He said, you talk about pressure. How do you do it? And I says, I don't know. I just, you know, just go out and do your gig is what you can do, you know. But he couldn't get used to the pressure of the
right.
Getting up the next morning and trying to find fish, especially when this weather like this is what happens to you in September. If you know, Mother Nature's always shuffling the deck. You better have a lot of options because, you know, all of a sudden you're fishing that nice southeast wind. All of a sudden it comes from the north real hard for 2 or 3 days. The tide comes up, tide goes down. So it's, you know, September can be tricky, I tell you.
Yeah, September's always been kind of a off month for us, you know, transitional and weird kind of month, but
yeah.
We've had some good ones. You know, that's with anything. We've had some, probably April is kind of a, you know, one of the worst months of the year, you know,
right.
For all the years I've been fishing, but boy, when you get a good one, it's incredible.
Yeah, when you get a good April here, it's Katie bar the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was what's so weird about our spring was so, you know, different than the year before. It's just every, you know, we lost those fish from the heat, and it took a little bit longer for them to build up. And the weather just, you know, I look at the records of, I look back at the, and I write down wind directions and stuff, you know, back 25, 30 years ago. It's a lot different now, Mickey, how long the spring stays windy. You know, the cutoff was always around April 15th, you know, through May it got calm. Now it can blow all the way through the middle of June. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the way it is here. May was a...
Yeah.
For a long time was one of my favorite months.
Me too.
Because I could go either way. If I didn't have Wade Fishman, I could always go out deep out of the boat and catch them up. We just miss a lot of fish in May that we're not able to target that start getting on these reefs for those earlier spawns. And we can't get to them because it's too darn rough.
You got birds working at this time?
Should have. We'll see after we get through all this weather.
Yeah.
It traditionally up my way, probably the best bird months are about mid-October through all of November through Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing they worked pretty good yesterday. You know, it's so funny because we used to have tons of big fish under the birds. Now you got to go through several bunches of them to find fish.
It's all changed.
It's just changed a little bit. But we did have that bird action, and man, that was a fun time when. You could pull out in the middle of bath and look, and there'd be just flocks of birds everywhere.
Right.
So hopefully that's going to happen with this water temperature drop. And our water temperature dropped 5 or 6 degrees at least, which is really going to help us. Man alive.
You know, yeah, I forget
exactly
who I was talking to last year. They'd been down at Baffin fishing in the summer when it was so hot last year. And I said, is that water hot down there? He said, well, my temperature gauge wasn't working on my boat, but he said, I can tell you the water was hot enough when I'd grab a trout, he felt like jello.
Oh, man, yeah.
Said, that meat is soft.
Yeah,
Let me knock his break out, Cliff. I'll come right back. Hold that thought.
All right, buddy.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Folks, if you're looking for quality cuts of grade A beef, pork, and chicken, look no farther than the Belleville Meat Market. They're located right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign, their processing facility, and meat market are located right next door to one another. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. Homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs are available for all of your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf processed, they have that available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round, so whether you're harvesting exotics or killing wild pigs or what have you, they do it year-round. Just ask for Brandon and get you hooked up. They're celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
In this dirty old part of the city, when the sun refused to shine. People tell me there ain't no use in trying.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 635 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back. I had a text from a listener. Mike wanted to know if you put your wife on that 30-inch trout on her birthday.
No.
No, I didn't.
No, man. Oh, man. That's a bummer. We did okay, but we didn't catch anything close to 30, you know. Just to get just, you know, the weather. God almighty. You know, you
that's
get one good day in the
surf. That's a tall order to fill, a 30-incher any time, you know.
Yes, and she's caught some big ones in the surf. She's up to over 29 in the surf. She's really lucky. I guess it was about 3 years ago when I was catching those monsters in the surf. I had those fish over 30 in the surf about 2-3 years ago. She had one come up to a topwater, Mickey. To this day, I would like to know how big that fish was. It came up to the topwater right when a wave came, and she was walking the dog. Right when a wave came, the plug turned sideways. The fish was underneath it and rolled underneath it, and it took like 2 minutes for him to get through. I mean, look at the tail on that fish. And, of course, you know how they are. They don't come back. You know, but still, it's nice to know there's some fish in the surf. And we're trying to sight cast them. This is what's going on, sight casting. So if you get three of those big fish in a pod or four coming down the beach and you stand real still, a lot of them come by, you have a much better chance. Those rogue single fish, there's no competition, and right. They're hard to get to eat. But yeah, if you've got a couple of buddies with him, they'll flip their switch where, hey, man, my buddy might get this. I better go ahead and peck at it. You know, and that was happened last week. I was seeing those big single fish, and I could not get them to eat nothing. You know, I told you that Bobby, he downsized that little bitty, smallmouth, the Rapallo, to catch those tarpon on the beach. I mean, really small, really light leader. And
right.
It's nuts how they can see everything on that beach. But so anyway, I was going to tell you about what happens here this time of year and what happened last year. So I keep eyes on the back of Alazon in the back of the bay system, because when it gets really hot, those fish will move toward the front according to the temperature, and I kind of know where they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Well, I talked to Hudson Moon, which he's my go-to in the back. He's a fishing machine back there, and his family owns a lot of property, and he's real good back there. He sent me a text the day before yesterday. He caught some studs back there again. So at this time last year, it wasn't happening. It was so hot. They pulled out, and they were in the front of the bay. They were in the land cut, and they were headed toward Mansfield. Now we still got some of those big old fish in the back. That means this winter, when they mud up, you know, it's going to be a lot better than last year. We're going to have a lot more fish coming from the back. You know, and a lot of those fish will stay in the back. They'll stay back there if it doesn't get real cold. So looking forward to a good winter. It's and I'm always excited about the wintertime. I know you are, too. It's just, man, it's a different class of fish. It is.
Yeah, it's a different fishing. It's my favorite.
I guess the hardest part of my age is getting the waders on in the morning. I said, man, what happened to me? It takes me 20 minutes to
job,
get all that stuff
I mean, by the time
it's
you get all
job.
Your gear on, you're wore out.
That's all right, man. At least you should have my confidence level. It's so funny because you get a motor with over 800, 900 hours on it. Man, you got this thing in the back of your head, man. So, God dang, my motor's got a lot of hours on it. I better not run too far this way. I better, you know, it keeps you, you know, not going, doing what you need to do, you know, because you're so afraid something's going to happen. I don't need to get 130 miles out, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something might happen. But now, you know, that new motor, that 10 cylinder, has got a fantastic record for just
longevity.
Running every day.
Yeah,
they've got a 5-year warranty on it now. So from the factory. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. That's going to change. But last year I caught myself a couple times. You know, I should have been way back in the back of Alazon a couple times. I said, you know what, motor, you know, I'm just going to kind of stay up here. I'm catching fish, so I don't want that in my mind. I want to just be able to have a free roam of everywhere, because down here you better be able to cover a lot of water in the wintertime, because these fish are always different, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that's a, you know, your system isn't that wide down there, but it's long.
No.
Long.
It's long, man. Yeah.
And that's the problem up here with all the open water we have to run across. You know, it's so long and wide. And
I looked at your area here. Man, that's a lot of water. And the difference were flog fishes and you are, that's a lot of distance apart there, Mickey.
It is.
I was looking on a map where he's at, you know. And by the way, I got to talk to him the day. It was so nice, man. He was headed down south. Hadn't heard how he did down there. Did he do any good on tarpon
yeah.
down there?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Okay,
he
good.
Said it was a lot of fun. Had him a little weather window where it was calm down there, and it wasn't up here, so they made the gauntlet.
I heard it.
No glory, baby.
Well, you know, at the same time, Fred and his wife, Raymond, and they took their wives down there to fish with Brian. I guess it was on Saturday. And they caught 3 tarpon and I think 6 big bull reds. What a day. And those tarpon weren't real big. They were the perfect ones, you know, like 80 pounders, you know, or just didn't kill you.
Right.
You know, they caught one, I think, last week, a $1.50. But, you know, personally, after that big one, I kind of like those little ones now. They just don't kill you.
Yeah, that's I'm with you, man. Those big fish, you get a hold of a mean one and a tough one, they can wear you down and put the hurt on.
Yeah, once you get one, you're done. I said, okay, I've done the tarpon, I've done the marlin, okay, I'm done. You know, I caught that big marlin with Chicano. I don't ever want to catch another big marlin like that. Man, that was just killing me. I was young, you know.
Yeah.
I watch these
give them heart attacks.
Yeah, and I watch how they fish. These guys now marlin fishing, man, they back down on those fish so fast, you know, compared to the old days. They get the fish up, they get a hold of the leader, and it's done. You know, it's so much different than when we fished in Mexico. In Mexico, you're dragging that ponga around, that little offshore boat, and that fish just dragging that boat around. You know, they don't always really pull up the fish a lot. It's just crazy, you know. But, now,
I saw a video yesterday of somebody backing down on a marlin. And they were sinking that boat. I mean, just, that was pretty extreme. I mean, it was 3 feet deep in the cockpit. Everything's floating. Uh-huh. I'm going, man. That guy was steadily, he was getting down on it.
I saw Chicano almost sink a boat trying to get the stupid marlin off the back of the ponga. We had one of those big pongas with a single, I think it was like a 200 or 250 Mercury on it, you know, with a, you know, he had a console on it, though, but just a big pongo, like those they run in Mexico. And we had this big old blue on. It was probably six or 700 pound blue marlin. And we couldn't get it in the boat. There's no way that we could get it in that boat over the rail. And so Chicano, he got the back of that boat and started running the reverse. And I don't know how that motor could take that much water. And we sloshed that fish in the boat. Everybody grabbed his head and pulled him in the boat, you know, and then everybody grabbed buckets and started bailing out the boat. I said, you know, only Mexico do you. That's a common thing down here. You know, and that, I don't know if those pongas have enough flotation to float when they get full of water. I was concerned, you know.
Right.
But that's the different. Now they got tuna door. Chicano never had a tuna door. You know, all these boats was just push them over the side, man. Pull them over the side.
Yeah. Old man in the sea.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
got
and now
a text
the big
from
deal.
Listener, Craig in G-Town said to tell Cliff that Costa Rica fishing is a little different from here, but they had a blast.
Oh, good. Yes, a lot of people call me when they go down there. I spent so much time down there. It is some fantastic fishing, and it's so different than what you think it is. Mm. You know, when I first went down there, Mickey, I took this big tackle box of all these mirror lures and topwaters for these snook and all that. They want a feather jig.
Yeah.
You know? They want two things, a red and white feather jig or a mirror lure that's green and silver like a sardine.
Uh-huh.
And those two things are really about the only thing you need for beach fishing down there.
Them trout on that green and silver mirror lure, I can tell you that, on the 7M. Mm, boy, that's been
yes,
a good
sir,
one over
you
the
can.
Years.
Yes,
the
sir.
The 18
man.
And the 19. Mm-hmm. Man, those are deadly. Deadly, deadly.
I got some in the mail the other day that had props on both sides of the mirror lure. You ever throw those, Mickey?
I hadn't in years. We used to throw them. I don't even know whether I've got any left. I think I chewed them all up, and, you know, they are ruined, swelled up in a tackle box in the heat and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I tell you what, you leave that stuff in the garage, you're in trouble. And it's like your wading boots. So every year, everybody's talking about all the soles falling off their wading boots. It's because you leave them in the garage. The glue cannot take over 110 degrees.
Nope.
So just leave your wading boots in your boat. Just
leave
stick them in
the
back.
Where it's cool under there is what I do.
Yes. So that's what I'm doing now, and I haven't lost the soles off my boots this year, so we'll see what happens.
I had one pair do that, and it was because I was taking them out of the boat and putting them in the shop, and
yeah,
that'll do it.
You know, same thing with all your lures. So I'm a lure hoarder. I got so much crap. It's just crazy. So I got all these stacks of boxes of lures.
From what I saw in your garage,
Yeah, stupid. But what happens, they get hot in there and they puff up. The lures puff up. You know, they're not any good. So all the ones that are really special, I'm trying to keep in the house, and the wife's not liking it. You know, she's just stacked up lures. You know, what's wrong with her, man? Then you go buy more.
I turned a bedroom in my house into a gun room and tackle room, and it's a mess.
Well, I did. That's exactly what I do. And I'm the only one to even go in there. You know, Carol don't want even, she won't even vacuum in there enough.
My wife keeps the door closed in that room. She goes, that's embarrassing, all that junk in there.
Yeah, last time she went there, she sucked so much leader line up in the vacuum cleaner, she said no more.
You know how many times I've had to take my wife's vacuum cleaner and turn it upside down and just pull all that line off of there? Oh,
especially
boy.
The braid. Especially the braid. The braids look good.
Braid's
I know the look
bad.
On her face, you know. The look on her face, like, I know, it's lying around the vacuum cleaner, but that's funny how you're making leaders, you're clipping stuff off, and a lot of it doesn't go in the trash. It goes on the floor, and you suck it up. But,
yeah, you're snipping all these little ends off, and, that's aggravating to women in their house.
And then when you get rainy weather, I know you're like, all fishermen are the same, so you can't go fishing. You're out there playing with all your stuff. You're fixing your reels. Putting hooks on lures and stuff. You know, that's exactly what happens when it rains. It's terrible, you know. It's like cleaning all your guns. You know, you clean all the guns, you get everything at the house.
Yep, get them out, wipe them down, and going, they've been in a safe, you know, and it's got a dehumidifier in there, but you still got to pull them out and check them out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something. And, you know, I got some, hopefully I'll get the fish this week coming up. I don't know how, I think they're going to take like 2 days to get the motor on the boat. I'm probably taking it in Tuesday. But it looks like it might be
on that weather below you, man. What happens with that?
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I don't know what's going to happen there. I just hope it doesn't turn into something and get us.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we'll take the rain. We just don't want all those high winds again, man. That little Cat 1 was all I wanted.
That did some lot of damage, man.
It did for what it was. I mean, it had so many little twisters and, you know, funnel clouds in it. I mean, it tore some stuff up, man.
Well, you know, usually after we get a couple of fronts, it's kind of over with hurricanes. So I hope that's the case here.
Well, keep them coming. Bring them. We'll take one a week. Need one a week, man.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you, and it's till season this weekend? Is that right? This Saturday?
No, next Saturday, the 14th.
The 14th. And that's when dove season opens up.
Dove season, teal season. It's wabbit season.
Yeah, it's ready to go, buddy.
Wabbit.
You got a place to bird hunt? You got a place besides Blaine's or close to you?
Not really. I've got some – the places I had that I could go, they're all wet and nasty now, you know, from all the rain, you know, east of town over there where I'm at. So.
Well, I'm going to definitely go to see Blaine this year. Every year I've been saying that. I mean, I just want to go see him and hang out with him, so – maybe we can hook up and maybe plug too and just do a few days.
Yeah, we just need to have an old guys reunion down there, get Jay and everybody down and just at least for one night and sit around the fire and tell lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually got a couple of days booked with Jay, one of my customers, Barry, my good friend. He booked a couple of days with Jay so we could talk to him. He's so busy.
Yeah, if you want to talk to Jay or hang out with him, you got to book a trip with him,
man.
I don't know how he does
it. I talked to Lord him yesterday. I said, well, how's Jay? He goes, I don't know. He fishes every day. I never get to see him. You know, he's still pretty mad at him, man. It's crazy how hard he can fish.
I don't know how he keeps it up. He's he's a little spark plug.
But, you know, Lord has got all those custom baits. And there was a new corky last year. There was a new corky last year that I missed that everybody's catching fish on. They're keeping it secret. It's called Boogeyman. And it's the ugliest looking corky you've ever seen. It's like puke green. It's ugly, and they just smoke it. It's kind of a pukey looking green color. And
Boogeyman.
I don't want to get that name, but I told Lord him. I said he's fixing me a little care package. I said be sure and put some of those Boogeyman in there. I've got to have them.
He's been keeping that from us.
No, I know it. I mean, I heard it was so
new,
funny.
You know, Lowell will flip it to me. You know, try this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. So, I mean, they were catching them on last year, and I was getting snobbed. So this year, I said, you better send me some, because my customers had them, and they wouldn't give them up. So I got one of them. You're not getting it, Webb. So I said, all right, man. Isn't that funny how you got millions of lures and someone to catch a fish on something, you got to have it? It's just crazy. You know you got stuff almost like it that'll work, but you got to have that one. You got to have that one. You
know? Just what we need, another one.
Yeah, another lure in the box,
we're the biggest
man.
Suckers in the world, man.
Man,
you know, a lot of people ask me, said, man, you still fish with a lot of old stuff that we threw with you 35 and 40 years ago. I said, well, it still works. What about these new? I said, I got some. Get on that leaning post. Get you one out of there. Put it on. Yeah. Go with it.
It's so crazy how many fish. And so you catch a bunch of fish lures, and you forget about it, put it up, it doesn't fish anymore. We're catching fish like crazy. You stop fishing it because something else came along, you know.
I mean, does anybody down your way throw spoons anymore?
Now, I was going to ask you, you're talking about catching fish on spoons that while back. I was listening to you when the water got real hot.
We just don't throw them anymore.
We don't throw them anymore. And the old guys, McElroy and McCracken, all those guys, I used to fish in Chatter Island, they were big-time spoon people. They caught monster trout on spoons. Why we don't throw them? You know, and you go to the store, you don't have a spoon
collection. Hey, in the surf, that's what we used to catch all our big old giant trout on with spoons.
Man, this guy sent me a special spoon. It was built for the surf in Matagorda. Scooter sent it to me, and it had like little tentacles off the back and had a bunch of like glitter tape on it. And man, they smoked that thing, and you can't find them anymore. I wonder what happened to it. I got to go find out what happened to that company, because man, that was a heck of a bait. It had like little bitty, almost like squid tentacles off the back of the hook, like three or four of them, and they had glitter in them and they shined. And man, that was a killer bait to surf. And had people. Yes. So, what do you when you fish in the bay? Are you throwing a weedless, like a regular Johnson Sprite Silver?
No, we always. Weedless? You know, we don't have all the grass up here, so we always just threw a regular old Johnson Sprite with a treble hook on it, with a teaser tab, and then or a bucktail, and
you can cover water too. Man, you can cover.
Oh yeah. Just rolling spoons. It's kind of like bass fishing with a spinner bait. You're just covering a lot of water trying to grab bites. And, you know, we'd get times in the fall where our water would get so clear that in the mornings we'd throw like a, with low light conditions, we'd throw like a silver spoon with a white bucktail. And then as the sun got up, and we'd switch over to bronze or gold. And then the old reliable was the silver spoon with that chartreuse tape with the red dots on it.
Yeah, with the little spots on it. Whatever happened to that thing? Is it still around? I mean, God almighty.
I guess. I don't know. I've got some. I don't know why I don't throw
You got it. Hey, Mickey, you got everything. I couldn't believe those jumping minnows you pulled out on me. It's still in the box. That was wrong, man.
Those are originals. Those are from back in the day, back in the 80s, man.
Well, a guy pulled a spoon out the other day. So Rudy Mayorga, the guy that used to run the Full Stringer, you know, Mike Ears had the Full Stringer. Mm-hmm. That was a big tackle store here on Everhart. And he custom made these spoons. He took a regular straight hook, and he wrapped copper wire around it and soldered it to the back of a spoon. And it gave it weight, where it's real heavy. And, man, those were some casting, fish-catching fools. And a guy pulled one out the other day, and that's got to be an antique because they only made him for a couple of years. But people stand in line to buy those spoons, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we just don't,
the Sprites, the Tony Acetas, the Dixie Sirens, and the Castmasters. I mean, spoons used to be a big deal. I mean, it's just
when I go to Mexico, I take all those spoons to Mexico and fish the surf. Now it's all, we take, you know, feather jigs down there. How funny how we forgot about our spoons. But you can take, if you're going to take anything and travel in your box, I think you could take a silver and gold spoon. If you had to take two lures and catch something anywhere in the world with them, you think about it, you know. It's
the thing with spoons, you get a lot of reaction strikes with them. You know, all that shiny and, it just draws strikes.
So, Mickey, I see spoons rigged so many different ways. You know, Doug would take maybe a 12-inch leader and put a swivel and then tie it directly to the spoon without a swivel. And then I see people put the swivel on the spoon, and it gives the spoon more twist. What's your theory on that? Do you want it on the spoon? Or do you want it on the leader?
No, I always just used one on the spoon itself. Just tie it direct on there. You know, just
let it turn.
Tie your swivel
twist
on your base of your line and just clip it on the spoon and get after it. We'd always use the Berkeley cross lock because when the redfish would swallow that spoon,
bite it. Yeah.
they would bite that swivel open, and they couldn't do that with a cross lock.
Man, I had a guy bring these little clip-on things you put on lures the other day, and he had some really cheap ones. We lost so many fish, Mickey, because it was a real cheap wire. And
trash.
They have a big he'd come back, and that thing would be straightened out. And so I just cut it off and tie him a loop knot. I said, man, get
away from
that.
There you go. Put a barrel swivel on with a loop knot and get after it. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. Yeah. Well, I got to run, my friend. If somebody wants to give you a call, Cliff, give them a number how they can get a hold of you, man.
All right, man. The fall's going to be good. I got lots of openings, so I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
Hey, you bet, Cliff. I always enjoy it. I'll see you next week. Take care, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.